This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 314 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you? He's Batman. The Joker.
Batman.
That was the Joker,
the
wasn't
Joker?
It?
Joker? It's bloody Vincent Price, my God, man.
Oh, was it?
Oh, it's a Halloween edition.
Oh!
It's All Hallows Eve.
Okay.
By the time this podcast comes out, it'll all be over, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it sounded...
Aren't you excited?
Hey?
Aren't you excited?
No.
Why not?
Why should I be?
It's Halloween, dude. Halloween.
Halloween only makes sense at the end of October if you're in the Northern Hemisphere.
What?
It only makes sense at the end of October if you're in the Northern Hemisphere.
Why does it only make sense if you're in the Northern Hemisphere?
Because it's all about the transition from autumn into winter, the death of... Hey?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Give us your version.
Well, for starters, the Pope, who dedicated the day... Remember, this is a European tradition. It's not an American... Halloween's not American, it's European.
I didn't say it was American.
Okay, so the Pope in... Pope Gregory III, I think his name was.
Right.
He made it All Saints Day, which is November 1st.
Okay.
And then it became All Souls Day... Right. On November 2nd, okay, and All Hallows Eve, the eve before All Saints, All Saints Day, became the tradition by the Romans as well for honouring the dead.
Okay,
so it's got nothing to do with bloody festival. It's become that in the Northern Hemisphere. It's not where it came from.
Okay, all right. If you say so.
It's true. It's true. It originally came from Ireland.
Right.
Ireland and parts of England, parts of France.
Right.
Was where the original was the Celts, my boy, the Celts or the Celts.
Right.
The Celts in kilts.
Right. That was the
so
Scots
I'm excited. I've got my... The Irish wore kilts too.
Oh, yeah, really? Gentlemen.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
No, yeah, I might be making that one up. I'll just have to Google that. There is Irish kilts. There you go.
Okay.
There we are.
Dug himself out of that one.
my sporran, my kingdom for a sporran. Have you been?
Pretty good.
Thanks.
I went shopping today.
Did you? And?
And I bought a neg scanner.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
I'm waiting for A7R2, R2D2, something. Yeah. You bought a drone. Okay,
no. bought the neg.
Why on earth would you need a neg scanner for?
Well, for our pass the camera project.
I know, but I'm trying to pretend that people don't know.
Because I figured, I needed to get this roll of film rescanned at a decent resolution, and I figured we're going to be doing more past the camera projects, so it makes sense
to... after this one?
So it makes sense to have the neg scanner, so we can just do it ourselves rather than have to pay somebody else to scan it for us. So, yeah. So I've just plugged it in about 15 minutes ago and had a little play with it, and it works a treat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you scan one?
What did I scan?
Did you scan one?
No.
And you know, it works, so it turns on, is what you're telling me. Oh, it works.
I've scanned images with it.
The blue light comes on.
I've scanned images.
Or it does images as well as negatives, does it?
So it does. You can do 110 film. You can do Super 8 film, you can do 35mm negs, and you can do slides.
Microfish?
Not microfish.
I didn't pay too much.
I don't think we're going to be doing a past the microfish project.
We can do a past the Minox spy camera.
Yeah.
That cuts down the postage cost because it's so small. Oh, you know what we should do?
Yeah.
This would be fun. past the pinhole camera.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
But you know what we do is that we just, you got to build your own pinhole.
Send around a piece of cardboard with a hole in it.
No, we send a roll of film around in a black canister. They've got it in a dark room, take the film out, put it into their pinhole camera, take a photo, take it out, put it back in the canister and send the canister on. That wouldn't go wrong at all, would it?
Not at all.
there's no fortuitous disasters going on in that shot.
Jeez. Oh, dear. So I'm happy to report that the strip of negs has arrived from Glyn.
Yes, I did that Monday, first thing. Bang.
And while we're on the subject of Glyn having sent me the negs, I do have to say one thing, Glyn.
I put them in a film thing too, notice? The card, board, envelope.
Yeah.
Do not bend envelope, proper envelope, everything.
Yeah.
Go on.
But I do have to remind you.
Yes.
Don't forget the canola oil, the bananas, and the apple sauce.
Oh, did I leave that on there? No. It's my shopping list.
I gathered that.
Stuck to negatives, was it? Oh, no, the envelope. It was
stuck to the envelope.
I've got all those. That's good. No, it's all good. You can tick them off now, friends.
Excellent.
Awesome. Yeah, I was cooking up a fabulous, fabulous pork roast during the week.
Oh, nice.
The bananas were separate.
I was going to say.
I needed the applesauce and the canola oil.
Fantastic.
And I've got to tell you, I cook a mean roast.
Yeah?
It's a talent to cook a roast, you know?
It is.
It is. You put it in a tray and shove it in an oven and pull it out when it's done. I tell you, the effort I go into cooking this stuff for this family is unbelievable.
Right. So how's your week been?
You know, it's I've had a not nice, boring. No, it's been a funny old week.
Okay.
First up, Friday night, I put my flash guns, my new battery packs, the Godox flash guns, Honnel speed straps, and colored gels, and my smoke machine to a whole new use. I've never ever used them for in photography.
Right.
I set them up as a disco for my kids.
Oh, okay.
So the kids had a friend over, so I had all the lights going, different coloured lights flashing, all in different frequencies, so I could time the different, which one went off when. I had the smoke machine going. Oh, it was I set up a first time ever a YouTube playlist of kids' disco hits.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. And I've got glow necklaces and glow. It was a full-on rave.
So what was triggering the speed lights?
I was triggering the speed lights with multiple triggers.
In time to the music.
Yeah. It's like, I was like being a DJ, but not instead of doing the music, I was doing the lights, you know?
Oh, dear.
It was nice until my kid's friend who came over had a little fit, a bit of an epilepsy.
Right.
And then I couldn't find him in the smoke because he's on the ground, small, he's lost in all of it. But other than that, it was a successful evening.
Excellent.
So that was kind of fun. I had two workshops on Friday and Saturday. I actually worked 2 days straight last week.
Wow.
I know. Man, it took me most of this week to recover. But I had this idea during the week. Right? I met this guy at the digital show who owns a company called PhotoSpeed.
Right.
FOTO as the traditional spelling.
Yeah.
He's from England. He's come over from England. It's a paper company, printing paper company.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of them before.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard. Apparently England's number one paper.
Right.
In sales.
As in photographic paper.
Photographic paper for printing, yeah. So a huge company. Lovely guy called Toby. And he says, look, we like doing sort of out there, marketing stuff. So we're looking for some photographers in the Southern Hemisphere to work with to help market our stuff and do some interesting stuff.
Right.
And everyone said, and he'd been introduced to me as, well, if anyone's going to do something stupid, here's
it'll
your
be
man.
Glenn.
Here's your guy. So I said, let me have a think on it. So I came up with this idea. I was looking through some of my photos from Vietnam. I was moving stuff from folders to folders and stuff.
Yeah.
And I came across this photograph, this lady who was 92 and never been photographed.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about this the other week.
So I struck on this idea. Well, there's lots of people. I'm remembering all the photographs I saw when I went to people's homes and people's businesses and stuff, and they're showing me their photos of themselves,
Right.
Most of them were like their war service photos, when they had to do conscription, so they had the certificate with just a photo of them. So they have so few photos of themselves, or and what they have is from 30 or 40 years before, you know?
Right.
Of, yeah. So I figured what I want to do is we're going to go to a small village in Vietnam.
Right.
And set up a photo studio in the street.
Yeah.
And a printing, a Wi-Fi printer. And we're going to photograph people and Wi-Fi stream it to a printer.
Nice.
And print 8x10s for everyone who we can convince to be photographed.
Wow.
It'd be a hell of a fun thing to do.
Yep.
B, kind of a cool thing to give back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hope to get some, yeah, imagine like, the kids coming along and laughing and squealing and, yeah, the crowd's hopefully building up. We're going to have a film crew, so we're going to film it.
Wow.
That's if PhotoSpeed came up with a budget for it. But right. But we'll have a film crew. Yeah, me and Malcolm will be shooting, or one of us shooting, one printing, that sort of stuff.
Yep.
We're going to set up this really cool thing. And so far they're in for it. They love the idea.
Nice.
They're trying to find a way at the moment of printing some photographs as people parachute out of a plane.
Right.
You know, on the way down. Kind of thing. Which doesn't seem mad at all, but yeah. So they're going up to the top of the tallest mountain in England, which I think is about 300 feet, tallest mountain in England, and printing from the top of that.
Right.
Taking a generator up and a printer. And I said to him, "Look, you know, I've got a massive fear of heights. You're not getting me up anywhere high." He goes, "Well, do you want to do a printing thing in a mine?" So no, I don't like closed in spaces. So I really like this idea though, and I'm trying to think. Well, maybe I can do this on multiple places. Yeah, maybe in Myanmar, Vietnam. I'm thinking about India, but India's just too full on.
Right.
But again,
I mean, like Vietnam, I'm sure if you got out of the city in India and went and found some little rural remote village where, you know, they...
No, it's more the full-on, not as in the amount of people, just the actual 27 days of travelling with people.
Oh, right,
or okay. 20 days of travelling, then just of sheer fatigue and so much other stuff to do and to be worrying about.
Right.
You've got 12 customers you've got to make sure are having the time of their lives all the time.
Yeah.
Plus dealing with all the normal things that go wrong, especially in places like India, which are common and frequent. Yeah. So there's just so much that you don't want to add another thing to that. And then the extension that I'm hanging around for myself is to shoot the Holi Festival. I don't want to miss the shooting opportunities.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
So maybe next trip to India when, I'm... Yeah, not so much. Yeah, I don't know. But we can, because this trip, I'm staying on an extra 7 days. Then I'm only home a week or so and going to Vietnam again. And now I'm leaving even earlier for Vietnam because of this idea to do this shoot before the tour starts.
Right.
But if the next trip to Vietnam, if it's not so congested around it, then it doesn't matter if I go a couple of days early and we could do this project in India as well.
Yeah, right.
Should work. So, and once again, have film crews there. We're going to do it in Myanmar. Which is once again very very few people have a lot of photos of themselves, yep. So we're going to do it there as well. Which I think is going to be a great little thing. Hope to get some social media traction and get some people if we get the video right and looking good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I like the idea. I said this man of laying around doing nothing all week and sparked a couple of ideas. So that's been my week. I've got a flash workshop this week and a flash workshop next week and. Yeah, I'm just going to get my head around thinking about that.
Cool.
And then it's Halloween on Saturday night. The kids, of course, you know. Yeah. I went out and bought two little vampire costumes for my little leeches, my children. So they're all happy. So a bit of fun. Cool. And we're going to a friend of mine who's Canadian. So, yeah, she kind of gets into it a bit more because she's a Canuck.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway. That was my week.
Cool.
I found a few things.
Yeah,
found a few things to talk about. Well, I came across this thing on Petapixel, which kind of astounded me, about these photographers caught filling fish with styrofoam and injecting air into their swim bladders so they wouldn't be able to go below the surface, they'd flap around on the surface, to attract eagles to come down, swoop down, pick them up. And then they've got this target. They know where the bird's going to come because the thing's floating on the surface already.
Yeah, right.
And
it's a bit unethical.
What, feeding eagles?
Well, just the way of going about it.
No, I'm being facetious. But right. Yeah, what, feeding eagles? They're in danger. They could do a good meal. Let's make it easy for them to get a bit of food. How outrageous is that?
Yeah.
You know, it only has to be a few people to do stupid stuff like that to Yeah, I'm not saying every wildlife photographer is doing that sort of stuff, but, you know, the more insistent we're becoming trying to get the best images all the time of everything and protecting our reputations for capturing these amazing moments and all that kind of stuff, rather than putting the hard yards, the time to achieve these things, everyone's trying to find quick and easy ways of doing it. You know?
It sort of brings up, you know, brings to mind the whole debacle with this tree in the South Island of New Zealand, you know, which has been the subject of many heated discussions of late, you know, because of the way photographers have been going and not only photographing the tree, but then sitting in the tree and, you know, running and doing parkour off the trunk of the tree and all this kind of stuff. And it just, I guess...
Wouldn't that be called parkour?
Boom, boom. I guess it just reiterates the idea that, you know, in this day and age of social media, you have to be so careful with everything that you do. You know, I mean, politicians are learning the hard way that...
Only if you care what other people think.
Well, yeah. But it's getting to the point where you can't afford to be that blasé.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So maybe I should keep my mouth a bit more shut. Don't say the stuff that I say, especially with this video. I got attacked on social media once a couple of years ago.
Really?
So I was doing behind the scenes video of me doing a shoot, and I'm going to the model. You're a tiger. You're a tiger. Yeah. You're a tiger. And I got just attacked for no real professional ever says stuff like that to a model, and just go away.
That's one of those you had to be there moments.
Sense of humour, yes, obviously not applying in this particular situation. Yeah, I mix it up. You know, it's armadillo some weeks, it's fox, you know, it's not just tigers. Yeah. You're an elephant. No, it's not a good thing. You're a stick insect. Yeah, probably closer. Yeah.
Hey, while we're speaking of elephants.
Or stick insects, yes.
What's the difference between a hippo and a zippo?
Come on.
One's really heavy and the other's a little lighter.
That's a dad joke. Is that a dad joke or is that a dad joke? You're happy with yourself too, eh?
I thought it was great.
I'm so happy with myself. I've come out with a crappy joke. Can I tell you a weird thing that happens every Thursday night about this time?
What's that?
So every Thursday night about this time we podcast,
yeah,
right. And I'll at some point want to check something out on Facebook,
right.
So I'll open up a Facebook window and I'm always logged out.
Yeah.
So I've got to log in, which takes a bit of time,
right.
But the thing is, all the rest of the week, every time I log in, I'm logged in. The only time I'm ever logged out is this time of night, on a Thursday night.
How bizarre!
Do you want to know another bizarre thing that happened to my wife today?
What's that?
So they did this big product launch in the finance world, whatever it is, and just to make things easier for all their customers, they came out with two form letters that they could, for customers who have one type of product, they'd send this form letter, and just add the name details, and a form letter for the other type of customer.
Right.
And they had them on shared drive, so it was one, just two forms everyone could access. They emailed this form out to everybody,
yep.
And somehow in the process of it being sent out, the names of each file swapped.
Ooh.
So the file name to go to one lot of customers and the file name to go to another was completely changed.
Right.
And so some customers picked it up, some people didn't. But how on earth does that happen? They went and checked the main frame with the main, and they're all right. They all got the right name, the right file.
How bizarre.
But somehow in the act of emailing, it swapped the file names.
Bizarre.
Now, I've never heard of anything like that in the world of IT. So no. If we have any IT experts out there who've got any sort of clue on that one, yeah? Mm. Or was that just some sort of ghost in the machine, as they say?
Yeah.
Don't interesting. Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to the photographers and...
The elephants.
Yes. Stuffing fish full of styrofoam.
So I would see someone stuff an elephant with... No, like helium or something. It's a floating elephant. They put a bit of string on one foot... And you're walking along, you know, holding the elephant. We think not?
As you do.
Sure.
I would like to point out, Adam did also bring up this story as well, so.
Oh, did you hear this week that the inventor of predictive text died?
No.
apparently the thing in the paper said his funfair will be hello on Sundaya.
Oh dear. Okay.
Now, probably the best joke I saw this week was from David Haworth or Haworth, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I've ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon. I'll let you know.
Which comes first?
That made my week, you know.
That's, that's very good.
That's, of course, until I heard the elephant and Zippo joke. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Hippo and Zippo.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so tell us about the GoPro drone.
GoPro's got a drone that's coming out to go with the GoPro cameras.
Cool. So as in they've...
They're actually bringing out a GoPro drone.
Right, so, it will be GoPro branded.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
And from the footage, the main reason I put it up there is because the footage is so cool. It's beautifully done.
Well, that comes down to the camera, not the drone.
No, the way it's flown is beautiful.
Right, that's the pilot.
Yeah, the main feature about their video
is
that
people go up to him and go, "Mate, what an awesome video! You must have an awesome drone."
Shh. Anyway, good point. That the footage is completely unstabilized. They've used no post stabilization technique to make it look smooth.
Right,
and it's as smooth as a secondhand car salesman's tongue.
Right.
Smooth.
Right.
So this led me on to like a whole... I'm going to drone on about drones for a little bit, quite frankly. There's this article in Petapixel that this guy's just got free in court for he was arrested for shooting down his neighbour's drone as it flew over his house.
Right. Is this the guy who was claiming that his daughter was sunbaking and the drone was perving?
How would I know?
Okay.
Yeah, read that far?
Okay. Right.
All I know is he got off.
Okay.
Yeah. He got off.
Got off the charge, that is.
Yeah. For shooting down a drone, you know? Because I showed Ken, this guy called Ken Kamineski I met in Vietnam,
right.
who he arrives, you know, with his luggage and this massive box with this massive drone in it, you know?
Right.
So I pulled up the article about the American ammunition company that's making drone ammunition to shoot down people's drones. So yeah, so I thought, well, that was interesting. And then I saw this guy. Yeah, judge says man had a right to shoot down the drone because it was indeed an invasion of privacy.
Right.
Two witnesses said they saw it flying below the tree lines. Nothing about his daughter, but apparently, Kentucky state government in 2016 is working through a law called the Drone Harassment Bill.
Right.
Which makes it illegal to hover over or land on someone's property with a drone.
Yeah, right. Wow.
To use a drone in a way that causes alarm or seriously annoys someone while serving no legitimate purpose. I'd like to see how they get away with that one. Yeah. Oh, seriously annoyed. Yeah. No, that drone, it seriously annoyed me, so I think this guy should be locked up. Some of the wording in law is quite funny.
Yeah.
Seriously annoyed. So let me just I've just got the proper link there now. But that led me to an article that AIG, insurance company, has now got drone insurance.
Right.
You can now insure your drone if it gets shot down or flies away with the wind. Because I'm sure that's happening a lot. I mean, did we talk a couple of weeks ago about some woman who found a drone at the bottom of a lake?
No.
Really? Oh, I heard about this woman who found a drone at the bottom of the lake.
Right.
And pulled it out, and all the footage was still fine and everything else. It wasn't mad. It was like 5 feet down. It was like 50 feet down or anything. But she saw something at the bottom of this lake and pulled it up, and it was a drone. So someone's obviously lost control. It's flown off and blooped.
Wow. And
pulled it out. All the footage is still good.
Wow.
Obviously, there's enough of this stuff happening that for a company to bother doing drone insurance.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
Well, I guess like any insurance company, they're just money hungry and they've seen a burgeoning sector of the photography market and gone, this is people flush with cash. We can
have a bit of that.
We'll have some of that.
Oh, I'll have a bit of that.
Yes.
So that's all my drone news anyway. I thought that was...
Yep.
I've got a drone.
Have you?
I've got a drone given to me for Christmas.
Do you ever use it?
Well, I used it Christmas Day.
Right.
Went in the front yard.
Yep.
Flew it up about 8 feet.
Yep.
The wind flew it another 30 on the next door neighbour's house.
And you've never seen it since.
I had to get the next door neighbour's son, who I didn't know, to climb the roof of the house and get it down. I've managed to fly. I can fly it around the house, like through the rooms and stuff, and through doorways and stuff. So I'm, can't do it each time there's even a zephyr of wind. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And I can, if I had a cat, I'd be able to terrorize that thing. Like, you wouldn't believe. Especially a long haired one, because it tends to crash a few times and get the propellers caught up in the fur. I'm sure that's happened. That's the sort of cat video you want to see on YouTube. Yeah. Drone. Yeah. That's funny stuff.
You know? Yeah, now it's a short haired cat.
Exactly. Or half of it is. Anyway. It's a half half. So, yeah, we were talking last week that Canon weren't at the digital show.
Yeah.
So, if you remember about that. Well, Canon this week did they announced their profits for the year so far.
Their
profits are down 21%.
Wow.
And actual sales are down nearly 5%.
Yeah, right.
Which, and their claim is that it's mirrorless is cutting into DSLR sales. So, their overall dollars going down. And, of course, Canon's.
Well, there's an easy way to fix that.
Come out with something decent.
Get in the freaking game.
They're in the game, but the stuff's no good.
Mirrorless?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just no good.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't look any good. Doesn't. Remember the mirrorless party video we showed years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the one they were all laughing at was the Canon one.
Right.
And not much has changed. It was the M1, I think, from memory. Now they're up to like the M3, and it's still. Being laughed at parties.
Wow.
So Canon's troublesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got to do something to arrest that if that's such a big thing.
Yeah.
Now, someone sent last week, and I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, oh, we should talk about that. Then we forgot about it. And right. Then I found the article again myself this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember still. I can't remember, meaning I didn't bother to go and look. But someone sent this thing through about these auto mechanics paying homage to, it's not a cheese, they're paying homage to Renaissance paintings.
Right.
You've got to look at this.
This stuff is great.
This stuff is just awesome. It is just so well done.
Oh, man.
And the post work is brilliant.
Yeah.
And some of the character faces are just awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the first one, with Jesus on the Last Supper, but they've got a hubcap
for the halo. It's
like a halo. But it's on the wall. It's just positioned perfectly,
That's awesome.
Just a classic.
And I like the, I can't remember the title of the original, but the one of God and Adam with the hands outstretched.
And he's passing the wrench.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
But the one below that, the guy who's just, once again, is a Renaissance style, but the guy's got a hell of a face.
With the exception of the Glasgow smile, he reminds me of the guy who played Chibs in Sons of Anarchy. I don't know if you ever watched Sons of Anarchy, but...
No, I don't like motorbikes.
Right. I'll remember that when I come to visit you.
Speaking of motorbikes, I had a disappointing thing happen this week. Well, not disappointing, it's probably the wrong way to approach this.
Right.
I found on Facebook my greatest high school sweetheart.
Oh, really?
Which ended badly because she let me go for another guy. And
oh, okay.
I bought that girl the Macho Man 45 single.
Right.
From the Village People. I mean, we're talking pretty serious love.
That was a serious investment.
It was for a young lad.
Yeah.
And, all I could think of was, A, how did we get so old? You can see this photo. It's like looking at me, Mum. When did we get so old?
Yeah.
I don't know. The reason she said she's into bikies now.
Right.
Not quite like that, but not as in, oh, I love bikes. But she likes guys with tattoos and bikes and stuff. And,
right.
Completely against my religion. and that came about for no reason whatsoever.
Well, because we were talking about this guy in the series of images.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yes. Anyway.
But yeah, he has great face. Great face.
It's amazing how we change. I saw this other quote during the week that now we grow, we don't actually change inside. But no one recognises anymore. We know we don't get old inside, but no one can see that anymore. I reckon all these images were done the same day. So if these are all done the same day, he's done a pretty darn good job.
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
It's half a dozen. I went to try and find it on his website, and I couldn't see them. So I've got to admit, I didn't put a lot of time in, but as you know, I wasn't invested in the process.
Right.
But I thought it would be sort of more into Ed Abbott, like, you know, there in his personal project or something like that, but couldn't see it.
I'll have a look later.
He's a good shooter.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'd like to put him in our vault of
people we dislike.
People we dislike, you know, the vault of shame. Yeah, mostly because, you know, it's such a great idea and it's been done pretty darn well. And,
he's nailed the process.
Yeah, so, hate him.
Yeah. New Pocket Wizards.
Oh, Pocket Wizards finally.
Yeah.
Finally. Got a new Pocket Wizard Plus 4s have just been either announced or released.
Right.
Where unveiled, they were, which has finally got a bleeding integrated hot shoe.
A what hot shoe?
An integrated, built in.
Oh, okay.
Did I speak too fast for you, Bruce? Or was it just too many syllables?
Yeah, whatever.
Integrated.
Okay. Built in.
Because one of the most frustrating things for the last few years using Pocket Wizard Plus 3s was having the damn Pocket Wizard a bit dangling loose at the end of a flash with a PC socket, which always comes undone.
Right.
You know, just, the bane. And you're shooting around water and the thing's dangling. You know, it's going to slide and end up going in the water and stuff. Just drove me to distraction. So now, built in, not I'm using Pocket Wizard anymore. I've gone to the Godox. Still, only 4 years behind everyone else, but well done.
nice, and double the price of everything else, no doubt.
Nice to see you finally got there. Now, I've got this one titled. This should be flagged. This is quite an important issue, so we're flagging this one.
Oh, okay.
It's about the use of flags, Bruce, in photographs.
Right, flags. Literally.
So there's been this trend, especially in America, apparently, of photographing newborns, especially newborns of veterans, wrapped in the American flag.
Right.
Now that's nigh on sacrilege for some folk.
Oh, is it?
Because it's just not. Since the law is very also some countries you can almost be killed for doing this sort of stuff. Apparently,
right.
But in America, according to the U.S. Senate federal laws, say the laws, mind you, the flag should never be used as a receptacle for receiving, holding, carrying, or delivering anything.
Right.
So if you've got like a nice bit of stew and a piece of Tupperware. You want to try, because it's hot, you don't want to be holding it with your hands.
Right.
Don't wrap it in the American flag and go and deliver it. It's against the law.
Right.
Just, this is important stuff, Bruce. We're caring about our listeners.
So when you're coming out of the supermarket and you haven't got any spare bags, you can't put your groceries in the flag.
Don't make it like a swag and tie and put on a stick. It's against the law, Bruce. Right. It's against the law. So, and the flag should never be used as wearing apparel.
Right.
So bedding or drapery, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Well, so, I can think of at least half a dozen musicians who need to face court.
Well, is it an actual flag or is it an image of the Stars and Stripes?
Oh.
See, by chance, walking through my daughter's school pickup today, a girl had on her face in face paint Stars and Stripes.
Yeah, right.
She'd actually stuck. Stars on little silver stars actually stuck to her face, which is kind of cool.
Right.
But so I'm thinking, because I'd already got this thing about the flag. Oh, it's contentious, but it's not a real flag, so she's probably okay.
Right.
So, you've got to be a little careful. And I mean, obviously, I'm sure some people would find it very disrespectful and offensive to do that. But not me personally.
This is Australia, mate. We couldn't care less.
You can use it as a dunny paper all I care. When you're desperate, you're desperate.
But even if it was the Australian flag, I don't think anyone here would give a hoot.
But here's the thing, though. If you're let's say you're an American baby photographer.
Yeah.
If I was an American baby photographer, God forbid, more the baby photographer bit rather than the American, and a client asked me to do that, I would definitely do it because they who are paying are saying.
Yeah.
But I would never, ever put it out there for social media because you don't need to put it out there to show other people because you may offend some and therefore you may lose customers.
Right.
Yeah, you're not going to win customers, I don't think, by having that image out there.
No.
Oh, you use American flags to wrap babies up. I'm coming to you. But yeah, so it's just a thing. If you if you are a photographer in America and this is the sort of stuff that's being put out there, you know, be careful. Yeah,
I don't know. It seems a little over. It seems a little knee jerk, reactive to me. But each to their own, I guess.
Apparently, you can get a scarf with the American flag printed on it.
Right.
And that's okay.
Because it's a piece of fabric with the stars and stripes, but it's not like the other piece of fabric with the stars and stripes. Oh, dear.
And the other thing is, in this particular photo in the article, there's a baby dangling, like in a cradle in the flag. Now, you put that on social media, you'll have a million people going, oh, the baby's not safe, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like if you take a photograph of the train line.
It's like Michael Jackson holding his son over the balcony.
It's a little different. But yeah, you take a photograph. I mean, every time I show that photograph of that we did in Vietnam, of the woman on the train line,
All
I hear is, oh, were there any trains coming? Oh, that's not very safe, you know. Oh. I saw this thing on Facebook today. It's like this big thing about, you know, people photographing on this particular train line, captured by the CCTV of all these people doing it. And sure enough, in the time frame that it showed this footage, I don't know, 20 or 30 people stopped and had their photographs taken on the train line. But they're trying to show how dangerous it is. Not a single train went past in the entire time. So I'm thinking it's not a particularly popular line.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to do it like, you know, peak hour and the 4:15, the 4:17, the 4:21, the 4:23 going past.
Yeah.
Just people, if you want to do this, right? Ready, Bruce?
Yep.
Just breathe, people.
Yeah.
Allow me to be angry for all of you.
Yeah.
I've got enough to share. Anyway, American flags and babies. What will they think of next? Now,
yeah.
Speaking of getting a little bit angry.
Yeah.
Just a little angry. I came across this thing called canonblogger.com.
Right.
That should almost be enough said, I would have thought.
Right.
But I saw this article, creating a black background through Flash. I thought, okay. Well, yeah. I know how to do this.
Yeah.
It's an extremely simple process.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an extremely, extremely simple process to do. So I said, well, let's see how he's doing it, because we might share it on the podcast tonight so everyone else can see how extremely easy it is to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my wordy lordy. Let's make Flash hard, confusing, and dull.
Yeah.
Start. And you know
and
what?
And you know what? He didn't
the
even
last get... bloody image isn't even black.
It's not even black.
It doesn't have a black background. It's like, oh. Unfortunately, the comments are closed for that article because I'm going to put a fairly lengthy one in there. I'm telling you, a fairly lengthy one. But the best comment of all of them was this. It's the best time to make some plans for the long run, and it's time to be happy. I have learned this put up, and if I may desire to suggest you few interesting issues or advice, perhaps you could write next articles regarding this article. I wish to read even more issues, approximately it. frankly, that sort of summed up the whole article perfectly for me.
Yeah.
The guy didn't even, had to turn the black background black, and he didn't even get there.
No.
And he doesn't even know why. He even says in his articles, I'm not sure why it's not black.
Oh, man. If you didn't get to your desired goal and you don't know why, maybe you shouldn't blog about it.
This is the problem with the internet, Bruce. Just people like this.
Yeah.
Putting stuff out there to confuse people.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just, the top surface of that is also likely reflecting some light upwards, so who knows? This scene may have already gone completely black in the background without the added change.
What?
I don't know. I'm not sure, though, because I did have a white reflector off camera to the left the whole time. Yeah, because that's going to make a difference to lighting up your little bloody stupid mariachi bloody thing that you're lighting. I knew from the first line I should have...
Quit while you're ahead.
Quit while I was behind. That's right. You'll be learning today how to create a black background by using your flash. It kind of sounds counterintuitive, but it really works. Trust me. Here's what happens. You take a picture of some knick-knack or other object, or even a person. And that background is just blur. Let's take a look. And sure enough, the background is blur. But
so you got that part right.
But he talks about how to change the inbuilt flash. The inbuilt flash can't do a very good job or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But all the photos he's using are off camera because the angle of shadow.
Yep.
Right? And then people are going, oh, how do I change my built-in flash to manual? I didn't know you could do it. You can't because he's using external flash. Even non-Canon users should possibly stay away from this site. but he thinks, you go into something like All Top, which is a list of all the big photography sites in the world and the stuff they're talking about. He's on the damn thing.
Really?
It's like, I didn't see Shutter's Inc. podcast talking about the awesome things we're complaining about.
Nope.
not there at all. And then I accidentally clicked on another one of his links.
Oh, okay.
He came out with a new rule. He was talking about the rules of composition.
All right.
And a new one I've never heard of, and I thought I'd pass it by you.
Yeah.
See if you've ever heard of it.
Okay.
The Golden K.
No.
No.
What's the Golden K?
No, he didn't explain it.
Right. He's still trying to figure that one out as well.
Golden K. So here's the thing. So I thought, well, okay.
It's K for composition. That's what
it
is.
Don't pretend to know everything about photography, just most of it. So I Googled the Golden K, and all I could come out with was some movie back in the 50s about these old timers who in their retirement decided to help other people in the community.
Right.
I don't think that's what he's talking about.
I don't think so.
Just so, oh, dear. So here's the thing, people. Don't read the internet. Do you know how many times this week I've had people in my Facebook friends feed putting up advertisements that's obviously completely bogus? It's one of these things like, share this, and if you're in the first 500, you get a free first class ticket around the world. You know, and the thing's already been shared 163,000 times for starters, and you're still sharing it.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's all lies.
Yeah.
And people who I thought were smart are following. Don't read the internet. Just look at the pictures.
Yep.
Just look at the pictures. It's like Playboy used to be. You know, Playboy now is only about the articles.
It is. That's right.
They no longer do nude photos in Playboy.
That's right.
Is the world coming to?
Yep.
I had a 10-year subscription. I asked to cancel it. Not totally true, though. Take them to do 10-year subscriptions. Still. So the Golden K, I think we should try and make something up out of that, what the Golden K is. So I'm going to set a task to a listener.
Yeah. To all Davidson. Of our listeners.
No, Adam Davidson, I want you to come out with something called about the Golden K for next week's episode.
It has to be a composition rule.
Compositional rule called the Golden K. Your time starts now.
Yes.
Finally, cutting to the chase.
So hang on, before you get to that. Yes. This podcast comes out on Sunday.
Yes, right.
We record on Thursday night.
So the time starts now.
So, Adam, you've got 4 days from the time this podcast comes out till the time we record to come up with a compositional rule, the Golden K.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, on to Chase.
Cutting to the chase, yes. Chase Jarvis. Yeah. Chase Jarvis has put a blog post up, which I just love, where you'll never have the problem of gear falling out of your bag again.
Oh.
He's got two simple rules.
Don't carry your bag.
No.
Oh.
When you've got stuff in your bag, zip it up so everything's closed.
Yeah.
Or, if you want easy access to it, open the flap, the top of the lid, so it looks open.
Right.
That's it.
Wow. Revolutionary.
He's nailed it, though, hasn't he? He has absolutely nailed that. Because I cannot tell you how many times I've had stuff fall out of bags because I flipped the lid closed and don't zip it up.
Didn't zip it up, yeah.
And then you go and pick it up, 5% and you forgot you hadn't zipped it up, or you know you zipped it halfway.
Yep.
And you hoik it up and everything falls out of the middle. So he's nailed it. And so, I'm thinking him, he's got my golden trophy of the week. It's a new thing I'm starting, the golden trophy. I just thought of it just then. Yeah. So I haven't actually got a trophy yet. And it'll be pretend gold.
Right.
But, that's it for me.
Excellent. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know.
Week of obviousness.
Angst. Oh, angst.
My goodness.
Angst.
Yeah.
So what have you got?
There's been a story getting around over the last couple of weeks that the
yes.
JPEG consortium
are talking... Do you know, they make 0.00001% of every JPEG photo taken. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Me either. Made it up just then.
You just made it up.
What's a consortium? What would a consortium do if they're not trying to make money?
Something like that.
How do you make money out of a JPEG?
Well, they're talking about the idea of incorporating DRM into JPEGs.
Well, they should. The last update was the JPEG 2000. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea would be that DRM, for those who don't know, is digital rights management. And that restricts the ability to copy whatever file has the DRM attached to it. And obviously, you know, the most common or most well-known instance of the use of DRM has been in music, where, you know, digital files have been encoded with DRM so that you can only play them on the device you paid to play them on, or, you know, whatever. So they're talking about the idea of incorporating DRM into JPEGs so that this whole issue we've got now with everybody stealing images left, right, and center...
And in the middle.
And in the middle would be curtailed somewhat. But interestingly, even the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation,
the JPEG consortium, the EFF.
Have you not heard of the EFF?
Oh, I'm just thinking, you know, have you ever heard of the Club of Rome?
No.
So the Club of Rome is apparently a secret consortium that's running the Earth.
Right.
I reckon the JPEG consortium are trying to do the same thing. In cahoots with the EFF.
One pixel at a time.
We will own all the pixels. It will be ours. Oh, I wish I had Vincent Price's laugh all queued up.
So anyway, I mean, the story's been out there for a couple of weeks about, yes. You know, they're kicking this idea around, but nothing's been decided yet. And it seems that most people, bizarrely... seem to be against the idea. I would have thought photographers would be in favour of it, but the general consensus seems to be everyone thinks it's a crappy idea.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
Well, how do you know they think it's a crappy idea?
Oh, well, I've seen stuff, but...
And what did they say?
I don't remember.
Surely it was the salient point somebody was trying to make.
I didn't take note of whose arguments were.
If you protect my photos, I can't bleat on Facebook if someone steals it to show how good my photos are because people want to steal them.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that kind of like the main gist?
Something like that. I don't know. But anyway, link will be in the show notes for those who want to read up about it.
I thought we covered it pretty well, actually.
Reg sent this one in, but I'd also picked up on it myself, and that is that Toshiba are selling their sensor development business. What?
So it's in 2 weeks, Reg.
Oh, right. Toshiba are going to sell their sensor manufacturing...
I think it's pronounced Toshiba.
Shut up. To Sony for $165 million.
Yeah. Do they do much in the way of...
Was unaware that they had a sensor manufacturing arm, but there you go.
Why is it called an arm and a wing?
I don't know. But anyway.
It's a normal
building. It can't be a very big business. Like, if it's only 165 mil.
Oh, I know. It's a drop in the ocean.
Exactly.
Sony. Yeah.
And
they lose more than that every week on selling cameras.
That's right.
Drop in the ocean.
It doesn't sound like they're going to be much of a, you know, they wouldn't be much of a threat to Sony if they stayed in the game. So
what makes you think, is it some little tiny thing that they've got that Sony see value in? It's the only thing it can be, really.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, it can't be like a competitor that's taking business from that makes it worthwhile.
No, if that was the case, it'd be, you know, an extra series of noughts on the end of the price tag.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may be that they've got something that, you know, there's some intellectual property there that Sony can see some value in or something like that. But,
you know what it is? I reckon if they take that, they might be able to sue somebody because it's probably not even make any money out of it.
Could be.
We've got this, we can sue Samsung for something else.
Yeah.
Oh, we found that Samsung are using Toshiba's thing, so if we buy Toshiba, we can then complain.
Yeah. Now, Here in Sydney, earlier this year, there was quite a lot of talk about this really dodgy guy by the name of Mr. Harani, who had a Facebook page advertising himself as a fashion designer, photographer, and he would get girls out to model his stuff. And he was physically manhandling these girls. He was squeezing their boobs, squeezing their bum. It was absolutely gross. He was absolutely shonky as. And
as what?
Sorry? As shonky as anything that you can possibly imagine.
Shonky is a really shonky thing.
And all these girls were posting on Facebook going, you know, if you're contacted by this guy, do not go on a photo shoot. He'll, you know, treat you like crap and he'll, you know, molest you and yada, yada, yada. Well, anyway, it gained quite a lot of momentum. This would have been back around about May or June, I'm guessing. And it made the news at the time. And just this week, I saw on the Channel 9 website, 9news.com.au, that he's actually been charged and pled guilty to 14 charges of indecent assault.
Really?
Which occurred between 2011 and April of this year. Oh, so there you go, so up until April. So
nice work, Mr. Policeman.
Yeah, good to see that, you know, that kind of stuff's been nipped in the bud. I mean, obviously, it took longer than it should have. I mean, he got away with it for 4 years, but
yeah,
pretty dodgy. So, yeah. Anyway, next one on the list. This was on light stalking, and this was 15 fascinating firsts in photography. And we've had one or two of these images come up in conversation over the years we've been doing this podcast, but this was just 15 images. One was the first photograph from 1826. Then there was the first human.
Was it a selfie?
No. First human in a photograph from 1838. First selfie was 1839.
I know, we covered that a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So anyway, so I won't go through all of them, but I just thought it was an interesting little collection of firsts from the era of early photography.
Have you got the first list of firsts?
No, I can't.
When was the first list put together? Where was the first internet top 10 post?
I do not know.
So this is modern first that we really want to be keeping there. This is modern history we're losing. We really need to keep track of this stuff, you know.
The next thing I came across was on Wired.com, and the post was called "Troubling Photos Show Our Planet as Astronauts See It." So the title got me intrigued.
As it would.
It's a bunch of 27 images taken from high altitude, and to be honest, you could see pretty much all of these on Google Earth if you just knew where to look. But it made for an interesting collection of images, and I just thought it was worthy of sharing because there was some cool-looking stuff.
Like the really overweight neighbour next door sunbaking nude.
Like number four, the industrial sector in Japan. Like this thing looks like you're looking at the motherboard of a computer. It's just amazing. There's all these radical colours and geometric shapes, and it's just a, you know, industrial complex on a dock. Just, yeah, some really interesting stuff.
The Golden Gate Bridge is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and the mine in the Pilbara of Australia, which is image number 6 in the collection. There's just some...
Why is it troubling? I don't see what's troubling about
them. No, I didn't see what was troubling about them. I just thought they were interesting images. But yeah, I didn't see how the troubling aspect came into it. I think that was just clickbait. And it worked. Because it sucked me in. So that was what I had on my list.
Cool.
So well, that's it. That's it.
We're done. We're done and dusted, my friend.
Done like a dinner.
We're going to go and do stuff.
I now have some negs to scan.
Yeah, well, you're off to go do some work.
Yeah, and I will then be able to replace, you know, all of the images in the InDesign project, the low-res versions with the new high-res versions. And then I can get the book off to Blurb. I think I've lost Glenn. So I'm going to put a note in my phone for next Monday. That's the day after this podcast comes out to set up a new event on Facebook. Glenn's back.
Well, that was odd.
That was very odd. What happened there?
Well, you know what it was. No? I saw the troubling image. And I said, I found the troubling one, and bang, disconnected. CIA.
That's it. Yeah. Homeland Security.
KGBs. NSA. Something or other.
Yep.
Yeah, I found the troubling one, though. It's all so, blank.
Anyway, no, as I was saying, whilst you were not with us.
It's all blank. It's all blank.
What's all blank?
This photo that's troubling me. Oh. I went through all the ones, and one of them is just white. That is a troubling shot from space, because there's nothing there.
Right.
They've taken the photo down, Earth's not there.
Right.
That, my friend, is troubling.
That would be troubling, yes. So on Monday, I will create a new event on Facebook, which will be an invitation to Pass the Camera Project Number 2. So I'm not going to do it until this podcast comes out. That way, everyone's got a chance to hear about it and get in, you know, as soon as I set up the new project. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds all right. Marvelous to me.
Yes. Yeah.
So having said that,
yeah,
let me say this.
Goodbye.
Good night.
See you, mate.
Goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. Farewell. Malena, goodbye.
Bye.
Adam, don't forget. Special K.
The Golden K.
The Golden Case. Something.
You're mixing your metaphorical cereals there, mate.
Oh, dear. Have a lovely week, everybody.
Yeah, see ya.
Just pop. Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.